Turn with me now, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I showed you a story this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 30. We were in 1 Samuel this morning. And then I showed you a picture inside that story. And I would like to do the same thing tonight. The exact same thing that we did this morning. I just want to tell you a story and show you a picture inside that story. This is a glorious story. This is a wonderful story, and it's a glorious picture of our salvation, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This chapter, 2 Samuel 23, it opens by saying in verse 1, it says, "Now these be the last words of David." The last words of David. David was at the end of his life here. And in his last words, he declared what his hope was. In his last words, he says some things here in these last moments. These are not literally the very last words, but these are the last words of his life, and he's declaring what his hope before God was. Verse 1 says, "Now these be the last words of David." David was the son of David, the son of Jesse, said, "and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." Now in verse 5, he said, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." He said, "My life on this earth has been full of sin. It has been full of sadness. It has been full of disappointment. But," he said, "my eternal hope is in the fact that God the Father, Son, and Spirit, they made an everlasting covenant concerning me." Father, Son, and Spirit. They made a covenant of election by the choice of the Father. The Father chose who God would save. They made a covenant of redemption by the blood of the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ came and made the payment for every soul the Father chose. The Father said, "I'll choose them if you'll redeem them." And the Son said, "I'll redeem them if you choose them." And they made a covenant of regeneration, life. God made man and he was a living soul, but man died. And Christ came and made the payment, and the Spirit comes and calls to life again, born again, regeneration. David said, "That covenant, even though I have not physically laid hold of the reality of it yet, the reality of my eternity because of that covenant," he said, "God has given me faith to believe it and to look to it and to hope in it as all of my desire and all of my salvation." If you get down to the heart of it, what is your desire? David said, "I want to be found in the covenant. I want to be found in the blood. I want to be found in the choice of the Father." Verse 6, 2 Samuel 23, verse 6, it says, "But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. He said, outside of that covenant, outside of the blood of Christ that sealed that covenant, there is no salvation. There's none. Now, to understand what we're about to read, let me tell you that David had many men that fought with him in his army. David had many men that fought with him in his army. In the text this morning, we mentioned 600 of them. He talked about 600 of his men that were with him. He had a lot of soldiers that fought with him and for him. But David had 37 men who the scripture calls his mighty men. Out of all of his soldiers, he had 37 men who the Lord gave extraordinary strength to. Just amazing, amazing strength to. Inconceivable might and skill and victory in war. Mighty, mighty men of war. All right? But of those 37, the scripture says three of them were the mightiest. He had many soldiers. 37 of them were mighty men. Three were the mightiest of them all. They were given literally supernatural strength. What they were given was a miracle from God. That's what it was. It was a miracle from God. All right, let's read about them here, beginning in verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, the chief among the captains, the same was Adino. That's the man's name, Adino. The Esnite. Now watch this. It says, he lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. He slew 800 men. Just think, you know, you hear that and you think, well, that's a lot. You just think about that. 800 men, not 80, 800. Not over the course of his life, at one moment in time, at one encounter, he slew 800 men. That's amazing. Verse 9, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahorite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. This man, Eleazar, was with David and two other of the mighty men when the Philistines attacked Israel, and Israel ran. The Philistines came in and all Israel ran. And this man, Eleazar, slew Philistines until his hand was so weary, it was as though it could have just fallen off his arm. His hand was so tired from slaying men. But God would not allow him to let go of his sword. He physically could not let go of his sword. He just kept slaying Philistines and slaying Philistines until the battle was over and they were all dead. And then, after all of that, then Israel came back to gather the spoil. So the first of the mightiest was named Adino. And the second one was named Eleazar. All right, verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. There was a piece of ground that produced food for Israel. Here it says it was full of lentils, over the same account as in Chronicles, and it says barley was there, whatever all was planted in this field. This is where Israel got their food. This was a piece of ground where Israel got their food, and the Philistines came in to take it from them. They were going to take their food away from them. And it says all of Israel ran, like they always did. And Shammah went and stood right in the center of the field. He went and walked right out into the center of the field, and he slew every single Philistine in that army. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Amazing. Now, what I want us to understand about these three men, and I pray the Lord will let us enter into this. Ask the Lord to help you to enter into this, because this has just blessed me so much. What I want us to understand about these three men is David was their king, and they loved David. These three mighty, mighty men. They loved David. In all of their might, in all of their victory, in all of their desire was for David. It was all for David. They put their lives on the line for David. They gave their all for David. His protection and his safety and his deliverance, that was all of their concern. That was their concern. His comfort and his peace and his contentment and his happiness, that was all of their concern. And these three men are here with David at the end of his life. And David right here is held up in a cave like he was so many times. And this time it's because the Philistines once again have attacked Israel. The Philistines just kept attacking Israel. And once again they've attacked Israel and they have taken Bethlehem. That was David's birthplace where he was born. They've taken Bethlehem captive and David's not able to go home. All right, look with me at verse 13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold. He was in a hold there in the cave. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." David knew that he was at the end of his life. And he was tired from all of his fighting. David truly fought his whole life. He fought and fought. He was tired from all of his fighting. And as though he made a final request, I can envision him. He is held up in this moment in this cave. And I can envision him just mumbling this to himself. Here he is. He's tired. He's at the end of his life. And he's held up in a cave and the Philistines have Bethlehem. And I can just see him mumbling this to himself. He said, "Oh, if I could just have one more drink of water from the well at the gate of Bethlehem before I die." Those three mighty men heard him say that. They listened to him say that. Verse 16. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. What love? What love? In their power and in all of their ability, all of their might, in all of their wisdom, and in all of their skill, they broke right through everything that was standing in David's way. And they drew water out of the only well that his desire was to draw water from. And they brought it back to him and they put it right in his hands. Water from the well. Verse 16 goes on to say, nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. That's what those three mighty men did for David. Out of respect, out of love, out of admiration, out of honor for those three men. David would not drink it. And what he was saying was, I'm not worthy of the honor that they've bestowed upon me. This is their glory. They risked their lives to do this, and this is their glory. So he poured it out on the ground. He poured it out unto the Lord. Now that's the end of that account. That's an amazing story, isn't it? That really is an amazing story. As amazing as the story is, let me show you a picture inside that story. The names of those three mighty men are Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah. Adino means his ornament. It means his adornment, his delight. That's Christ. The Father's adornment, all the Father's delight. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Eleazar means God has helped. How has God helped sinners like us? If we want to see God's help, where do we look? The Lord Jesus Christ. He has helped us in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shammah means astonishment. Oh, the glory of the astonishing work of what God has done for His people. Just astonishing. It's not just grace. It's amazing grace. It really is. It's astonishing grace. This morning, in our story this morning, David represented the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at a story of David and he represented, that title was Christ Recovered All. David recovered all. Well, he's a picture of Christ. Christ recovered all. In our story tonight, David represents a sinner saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He represents you and me. David was still just a man, a sinner saved by grace, and he represents you and me. These three mighty men represent our mighty God in three persons. Father, Son, and Spirit. All found in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead found in the person of Christ alone. Verse 8 says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino. All right, Adino slew 800 men at one time. That's what it says. One fatal swoop, 800 men. As a picture of Christ, this is what the book of Hebrews says. It says, our Lord Jesus Christ by himself purged our sins by offering one sacrifice. And how glorious is that? One sacrifice he perfected forever them that are sanctified. One fatal swoop. Verse 10 says that this man Eleazar clave to the sword. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, which is quick, powerful, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit. The Word is Christ. Christ is the living Word. Verse 12 says, Shammah preserved the sustenance of Israel. Because of this man, they were fed. That's Christ, the living bread. Christ, our deliverer. Christ, our life. Christ, our sustenance. These three men represent God, our keeper, our protector, our sustainer, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Just like everything that these three mighty men did for David, all the amazing things that they did for David, everything that our God does is for us. Everything, that's just amazing. Everything that our God does is for us. It's because of His own love for us and His faithfulness to us. God commended His love to us. David here, again, he's at the end of his life, and he's weak, and he's estranged from his home. He's outcast. But even so, it says that he was in the stronghold of the rock. He was in a cave. And he's at the end of his life, and he's weak, and he's distressed. But he was in the stronghold of the rock. Even though he was hiding in the rock. And so are all of God's people. And the love that had been with David and carried David this far, it was going to stay with David all the way to the end. Greater love had no man than our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Greater love had no man. It's not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to set His face like a flint, to break through the wall of the enemy, to bring the water of life to His people. David, representing every single child of God, this is what he said. He said, "Oh, if I could just drink from the well of Bethlehem." Look at this condition I'm in. Look at this awful, awful condition I'm in. If I could just drink from the well of Bethlehem. That's Christ. That's the only well that God's people want to drink from. That's the only one. Somebody will say to him, "Well, David, there's other wells. Why don't you... What about one of these closer wells? What about one of these wells that's easy?" It has to be that well. It has to be that well. Every time the maker and defender and redeemer of the people of God, every time he hears that faint cry from one of his own, immediately living water is drawn from the living well. Every time. Every time the cry for mercy goes out. Every time. Immediately. Blood is drawn from Emmanuel's veins that was given to cover all of our sin. And nothing and no one can stand in the way of that accomplishment. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Ask of me, and I'll give you water to drink that'll cause you to never thirst again. You just ask, and you'll have it." That's what he said. You just ask, and you'll have it. Verse 13 says, "And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. He said, "This is not my glory, it's theirs." And that's what every child of God says concerning the work and the reward of everything that Christ endured to bring life to them. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give all the glory." David poured it out unto the name of the Lord. David said, "I will not honor myself with this. I will only honor the Lord." And that's what all of God's people say. May all of the glory for this astonishing work be unto Christ alone. All of it. Now let me close the message by reading these verses of Scripture to us. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. This is a wonderful chapter. Isaiah 12, verse 1 says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Verse 3 says, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Amen. Amen, and praise the Lord. All right, let's close by singing "Praise Him, Praise Him." This is hymn number 442.